Here are the characteristics of the God force, of that force that's in that tomato plant. And it's like, you can practice this, you can see it in people. I remember one of the great teachers in my life was Fritz Radl, who wrote a book called Controls from Within, and was a student in Vienna, and he taught it in the doctoral program at Wayne State University. And I was really blessed to be in one of his seminars. And I remember him coming in one day to this doctoral seminar. I think there were six of us in the seminar. And he presented us with this story. He was just a great teacher. He never judged any of us. Everybody, he already said, you're great, you've got an A. You're doctoral students, here's your grade, all right? Now, you can come if you want to come. You don't have to come if you don't want to come. It's up to you. I don't put any emphasis on it. If nobody's here, when I get here on Wednesday evenings, it was a three-hour seminar. He said, I'll just meditate. Yeah. And not one person ever missed a class. I don't think I ever worked harder in a seminar than I worked for this man. He wasn't doing what he was doing because he was attached to us doing it the way he thought we should do it. He wanted us to actualize ourselves. And he even said to us, self-actualizing people live from their divine self. They know the divine. And he said, imagine a person who's living at the highest level who comes and shows up at a dinner party. And this dinner party, everyone is dressed in formal attire. Everybody has a suit on, not just a suit, but a black tie. And he said, this person shows up, and he's wearing a pair of jeans and a baseball cap and a pair of sneakers and a T-shirt. And he shows up at this gathering where everyone is dressed in formal attire. He said, the question is, what would he do? And he walked out of the room. He said, I'll be back in 15 minutes. Now, each one of us sat there, and we wanted to prove how cool we were. You know, as a young doctoral student, I was 27 years old. And I had read this, and I had read Maslow, and heard of Maslow doing these kind of things. And I even had an opportunity to meet Dr. Maslow and to study with him, which was a great honor. So I wrote what I thought would be his reaction. And each of the rest, the other five of us all did the same. And then he came in and he said, okay, Vane, read your answer. And I read what I had written down, and each person read it. Most of us wrote something like, well, he wouldn't leave, and he wouldn't make a big issue of it, and he wouldn't pay attention to that, and he's not into appearances, and so he wouldn't be concerned with whether the people liked it or not, and he would be independent of the good opinion of other people. I mean, I had it all down, right? And I gave all what I thought would be the right answers, how cool I would be. And each one of us read it, and then Fritz Radl said, none of you got it. He said, the answer is very simple. Three words. He wouldn't notice. Now, it shows you how far we have to go. He wouldn't notice. These are people, and this is a level of trust that I'm trying to get you to understand, which is one in which the unfolding of God is what is seen by this person in each one of us and in everything that he sees in the universe. They see the unfolding of God in each person. Not a physique, not a shape, not a color, not a sex, not an occupation, not a socioeconomic classification. None of those things. What they see is the unfolding of God in all things and in all people. And when you get to this place where you're beginning to trust in this wisdom that created you, you're beginning to understand what this force is like and how different it is from the ego, which is the part of us that has separated ourselves from that force and has believed in our own sense of particularization or individualization. Remember, to develop the kind of trust that I'm talking about, you have to be able to process this intellectual fact that there is an intelligence in the universe that doesn't know how to particularize. It doesn't know how to individualize. It has no preferences. It is everywhere at the same time. It has no judgment. It is like electricity. It's just there. It's everywhere and in everything. And being in everything, it's in you and everything that you would like to manifest. So what you're doing as you manifest is just getting another part of yourself to align. When you learn to manifest, what you're doing is you are aligning your intention with divine intelligence. You are aligning your intention with divine intelligence. You are not creating. You are not bringing something from another world into this world. We don't do that. Everything that's in the world is in the world. We just combine things and we move things around that are already here. It's all here. The creative process is really nothing more than shifting around what is here already and aligning ourselves with it and redistributing it. And so the characteristics of this divine God force, if you will, is that it is everywhere. It is not particularized. It has no preferences. It has no judgment. It is always flowing. It never changes. And most important, it never dies. It never dies. When Lao Tzu, the writer of the Tao, 5 centuries before Christ, was asked the question, "What is real, Master? What is real?" His response was, "That is real, which never changes." Somehow, you have to figure out a way to know the part of you that never changes. When I was writing this book called Manifest Your Destiny, I really wanted to put in a display quote at the beginning of the book that would sort of summarize, if you will, what it was that this book is about and what these ideas are about. And I finished the book. I finished the 9 principles. I wrote out how to apply them. I was very happy to have that done. I agreed to do a program that you're listening to based upon these. But I still didn't have a display quote. Like when I wrote Your Sacred Self, I came across a passage in the New Yorker that I really loved. It said, "All my life I wanted to be somebody. Now I am finally somebody. But it isn't me." Because who I am is not that somebody that I thought I was. Who I am is that part of me that is eternal and sacred. And I thought I was something else. I thought that who I could be would be to have a bestseller or to make a lot of money or to be famous or to do the Tonight Show or to do any of the thousands of things that I've been blessed to have come my way. But that's not me. You have to trust in something else.